Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today we have Gary Lee as a guest. Gary is the English ministry pastor of Raleigh Chinese Christian Church. Hello, Gary. How are you?
Doing well.
Thanks so much for coming today.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're very excited to do podcast with you. And today, in this first episode, we want to know more about your personal story. Now, can you tell us about your family?
Sure, I'd be glad to. In terms of my family, back in 1997, I went off to seminary, and I went to a seminary with all guys. And so I was a little fearful if I'd ever find someone to marry, so I submitted that thought to the Lord. And so when I moved to Southern California, I met my wife the first week I moved out there in a church that I was soon intern at, and we'd get to know each other. And so we started dating 3 months later. Got engaged 9 months later and was married a year later. And then God has also blessed us with 3 children, and today one's in elementary school, junior high, and high school.
How did you become a follower of Christ?
Basically, I was born into a Catholic family with American ideals, and so from my Catholic background, I was familiar with the law, the Old Testament, and the Ten Commandments, and so I knew I was a sinner, without a doubt. I knew I broke God's law repeatedly, and that's the backdrop. So I had high awareness of the fact that I needed something more than myself, someone to forgive me. And then later on, when I was about nine years old, my mom got cancer. And she had cancer at the same time she was carrying my little sister. So she waited to deliver my sister, and then later on had cancer treatment. The cancer treatment seemed to be working, but later on we found out that it wasn't working, and my mom chose to stay home, and I basically watched her go from a healthy mom and lady to a very fragile, skinny lady who experienced intense cancer that tore her body apart. And I remember watching her die and thinking, whoa, what happened to mom? Is she in heaven now? Is she in hell? Did the Catholic priest do anything to save her? I just didn't know for sure. But I do remember I did not cry at her funeral. I think, I don't know, maybe as an Asian, I'm not in touch with my emotions. And so I just remember I went to a season into sixth grade and junior high of just being lost, looking for identity, trying to find identity in clothing, in grades, in sports, and recognition. I even dyed my hair orange just to draw attention to myself. And, you know, looking back, I realized there was something deep inside me that was really just empty, and I was trying to fill it, and it just wasn't working. And so later on, as I moved into high school, I thought I could find life and success in school through girls or through drinking. And I had a good friend who tried the same thing. He tried to find life, like Solomon says, through the things of the world. So he had a cool car that he would drive around excessively fast with me in it. He also tried drinking and driving, and that was extra scary. And he also started dating this girl from the Catholic school across town, and they went to the senior prom together. And what happened here was about a week later, she dumped him, and he committed suicide. And so this rocked my world. My friend that I hung out with almost every other day was now dead, and he was of a Korean background and adopted into a Japanese family. And I was just wondering, like, where's my friend now? Is he in a better place? Is he in nirvana? Is he transformed into another something else in the next life? Or is he just dead in hell forever? And so these are questions in my mind that I was just constantly thinking about. What is this life for? Why did God make us? What happens after we die? And so I found myself weeping a lot and crying because I started thinking about my mom and where she was at. And so basically, as a senior in high school, constantly just crying and grieving my friend's death and my mom's death simultaneously. And so what happened out of this is that God started drawing my heart to Him. A group of people from my high school started loving on me, reaching out to me. They were from Chinese Grace Bible Church in Sacramento. And so they would invite me to youth group, and I was exposed to God's Word. The parents of my friends really cared for me like I was their own kid. They're like aunties and uncles. And for me, this is my first exposure to a Bible church, a church that lived the gospel and spoke the gospel. And at that time, the things I liked most about it was the fact the games were fun, the girls were cute, and the grub, the snacks were really tasty. So that's what drew me in. But God had other plans. So I graduated high school in 1992. I still had my high school friends, and so we went to Mexico and basically partied our senior year. And I came back, and I continued to go to church, and I continued to hear about the gospel. And we came to the end of the summer where the church that I was at had an inter-church camp with about a dozen Asian churches that would come together for an annual youth camp. And so I asked my dad if I could go, and he said no. And I go, okay. My dad said no. And the main reason why he said this is because he said I already had my fun in Mexico. And so I told this to my friends from church, and they said, we will pray that our God would change your dad's heart. And I laughed at them. I mocked them. I go, your God cannot change my dad's heart. When my dad says something, we never question him. And so they prayed, and they pleaded with me the day before camp to ask your dad one more time. And so I asked my dad, and he said yes. I didn't question my dad. I decided to hurry up and pack my bags. And the next day, I was off to camp. And the first day at camp, basically a gentleman sat me down, and he essentially said, you're a sinner. And I said, you're right. I steal, I cheat, I break God's law constantly. But he also said, there's a great Savior who lived and died for you. And I'm like, I really didn't quite get that in my Catholic background, but he made it crystal clear that day. And so he presented Jesus as a Savior, and then I made my first initial step of faith and trusting Him and confessing my sins and acknowledging Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And so that's basically how I became a follower of Christ at this camp. The church was very gracious as I came back to follow up with me. They helped me to understand basic assurances of salvation, of Scripture, how to walk in Christ, how to pray, how to study God's Word, how to be part of fellowship. And so they got me off to a very good start. And so I'm very thankful for the first church I was a part of. And then a year later, the senior pastor grabbed a bunch of college guys and I, and we started learning how to study God's Word and share God's Word and make disciples. And so I saw myself grow. And so basically that's how I came to become a follower of Christ.
Wow, that's a wonderful story. How did you sense God's calling in your life to become a pastor?
As you know already, I came to Christ right before college, and so as I was going to college, I said to the Lord a couple things early on after a hard first semester. The first semester, I basically went to college and studied hard, but I was living life in two worlds. A lot of my friends went off to these big universities, so I would go to church, and then I would go party at the fraternities and sororities. And so at the end of the first semester, I basically felt terrible, and I broke down crying. And I said, okay, God, you win. You don't want me to live in two worlds anymore. I can't function like that. I can't grow that way. And so I said to God, I give up. And whatever you want, I will do. And so I got the impression from the Lord that he wanted me simply to read His Word at face value and obey it. So I said, okay, God, I'll give you zero period. I'll wake up early at 6 something and have Bible study and pray from 7 to 8 before school. And during that season, I read through pretty much the whole Bible and a systematic theology book for the first time, and I started growing. My thoughts changed. My views started changing. I started having victory over sin in my life, and I just looked at my college as a mission field. So I shared Christ to my classmates, people in the cafeteria. I started getting involved with campus ministry and just started God using me. And I realized I was at church 10 to 15 hours a week and I was enjoying it. And I realized that was really what I was majoring in after a while, not my major in school. And so people at church began to say, "Hey, have you ever considered ministry?" And so I kind of laughed it off and said, "Are you crazy? Are you nuts?" My dad wouldn't go for that. My family wouldn't go for that. They would say, "I'm throwing my life away." And so, again, I still started seeing God use me. I sense God's calling me into ministry. I remember we had a lot of cute girls at church, and the guys would follow them from the high school and colleges, and I would literally pry them off the girls and sit them down and tell them about Jesus, and they would come to Christ. I was like, "Whoa, that's amazing." And then pastor said, "Okay, it's your turn to disciple them." And so it was amazing to see them grow and to take initiative and to become baptized and leaders in the youth and college ministry. And I started coming to a point where I'm like, I think I want to do this for the rest of my life. And so I remember reading Spurgeon's lectures to my student and really thinking through the call to ministry. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to do anything else. I just want to know God and make Him known. And so I also remember an acronym in the letters C-A-L-L, call, and start seeing these realities come together in my life. I felt confirmed by the leaders at the church, the abilities to lead, to teach, were growing. I had a longing desire and burning desire to serve the Lord in full-time ministry, and my lifestyle was coming together where it was a lifestyle of holiness and purity. And so basically that's how I understood my call to ministry. Maybe the last little part was I went to my first mission trip, and at the end of the mission trip, the speaker was preaching and reminding us, "Hey, you guys are all soldiers for Christ. And God has also called some of you guys to be commandos or captains for Christ." And I'm like, "Oh, yes, I'm sensing that call too." And I remember the closing song, "If it costs me everything, I'll obey." And I knew there would be cost because people wouldn't like it. My family wouldn't like it. But I said, "God, I'm going to trust you. You've taken me this far to save me. So I'm going to trust you to prepare me for ministry." And so that's how I was called to ministry.
If you were not a pastor, what would you be?
I would try to be the best church member possible and seek to serve people and the cities that God has placed in this world for the shalom and the peace of the city. Short answer for that one.
Oh, that's good. Well, what is your life verse?
My life verse is Romans 12. Verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." And the main thing I like about this verse is the word "therefore," and then the phrase "by the mercies of God," which points back to Romans chapter 1 through 11. Really, all of God's mercy to literally save me. And really, the most natural response of being saved is to serve the Lord out of a heart of gratitude and thanks for what He's done for me.
That's good. Who is the biggest influence in your life?
So this answer is pretty simple. I would say Tim Keller. He's blown my mind in terms of understanding and applying the gospel. I think as a younger Christian or the church I was at, basically kind of taught the A, B's, and C's of the Christian faith, and Tim Keller has helped me to see it in a whole different light. So I appreciate his efforts in helping myself and others understand the gospel from A to Z's. And ministries like Gospel Coalition, Together for the Gospel, have influenced me greatly too.
That's good. Well, when I first met you, you told me that you were third-generation Chinese-American. I was just curious, how was your life growing as a third-generation Chinese-American?
There's a couple things that stand out to me. It's clear that my grandma spoke Chinese and my parents spoke Chinese. Mm-hmm. but my parents made a decisive decision not to teach me Chinese, so I cannot talk to my great aunts and my grandparents. So that was always difficult and a struggle. But as a Chinese American, I naturally appreciated Chinese food, and so I still have an appetite for that. But I think my experience is a little bit different growing up in California, because there were probably a third to half the people in my classes growing up were at least Chinese, if not Japanese American. So it was very common to know other second and third generation Chinese American growing up in California. So that's basically how it was for me. I think we also had a dual reality of who are we? Are we Chinese or American? And what part influences us more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, what are you most passionate about?
That's pretty simple. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the local church and making disciples. And so when I say making disciples, if you consider the Great Commission, we are to make disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so I'm passionate that people would understand their gospel identity, that the fact that God is our Father that makes us sons and daughters, and that establishes our new identity in Christ with God as our Father. And then with Jesus as Son, He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Master. And so if that's true, then our role is submit our whole entire lives to the Master. And then when I consider the Holy Spirit, that identity is very important, because the gospel, the Holy Spirit regenerates us, saves us, and sends us. And so I recognize as disciples of Christ that we are sent ones into this world. And so that's very much my passion and core. And so it influences everything from corporate worship to the songs we sing, what we teach in Sunday school, small groups, family worship, discipleship, everything. It just touches everything. Marketplace ministry, campus ministry, and even how you raise your kids. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's good. What was the highlight of your life?
Highlight of my life was marrying my wife. She's a gift in so many ways. She's definitely smarter than I am. She's more godly than I am. She knows the Bible better than I do. She prays more than I do. And so she is a source of grace and truth in every way to me. And she rebukes me, she encourages me, and she corrects me. And I would not be the person I am today without her. She's definitely a helpmate in more ways than I could count. So I'm thankful to Jesus for a wife like the one God has provided.
Is she also Chinese American?
She's also Chinese American. Her mom was of Toisan descent, and her dad was from Shanghai, and she's second generation, born in St. Louis.
Now, what was the lowest point of your life?
The lowest point of my life was probably in 2007. We planted a church with about a dozen people, and it grew from a dozen to 50 people, and then it went down to 20, and then up to 70, and down to 20. And I went through a season of like, this is a hard place to plant. People are very transient, they come and go. And it came to a point where I was just worn out, beat up, and emotionally and spiritually spent, and badly needed a sabbatical. So for the sake of my well-being, I chose to resign. And so this is hard. Hard to leave dear friends.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Today, I was very happy, and I was very glad to listen to how you came to Christ and what you're passionate about. In the next episode, we'll definitely want to hear more about your current ministry. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.